Welcome to a special edition of This Is Silly with the Lil Against the Smitch. Brad.
Hello.
Bird.
We're on assignment.
We are. We're at Mission Taco tonight for a special evening.
Yes, we're at Mission Taco for a couple of reasons. First of all, they donated graciously to our Pizzagate fund.
That's right, so we can check that box.
We can check that box. Thank you, Mission Taco, for all you do. And we're also here for another very special reason.
Carne asada steak fries.
That's right. And burritos.
It's Monday night at Mission Taco.
And they're actually open.
Which is normally a closed night for Mission Taco.
So they're having a special night just for the soccer park tonight.
Today and all day.
20% of your tab goes to restoring the park.
So if you, you should be here already. That's all I got to say.
Or you should have been here earlier today.
For lunch, yeah.
Or if you didn't make it, you should feel guilty and want to just make a donation on your own.
Which you can do. If you go to St. Louis FC's website, which is stlouisfc.com, there's a link there where you can click and donate directly to the Save the Park Fund.
Because the one thing that's worth mentioning is that the club is not a corporation. It's a nonprofit. And other than people writing checks, things don't get fixed.
That's right. And if you don't know, Soccer Park was under 20 feet of water last week, as we, you know.
Yeah, things floated away, quite literally.
I tried to make a joke when the soccer park, when the pitch was starting to get flooded, that, you know, Austin took a year off because of this. And that glib comment really turned out to be, you know, bite me in the backside, because that's worse than what happened to Austin.
This was a massive flood. Had it happened during the season, it would have been a big deal. I mean, it's still a big deal, but fortunately, we are assured that everything will be ready for the start of St. Louis FC's season. And, you know, we're just out here supporting Mission Taco, who is supporting our club.
I actually had two burritos because I wanted to give more to charity.
Oh, is this tax deductible?
I'm a giver.
I think this might be tax deductible.
We're writing it all off.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Call my account and make this happen. I'm going to eat so much. I'm going to take home burritos because I'm charitable like that.
To go.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
I like it.
Erin was saying she's never had Mission Taco before. I'm going to be a giver. I'm going to bring a taco.
Yeah, normally you don't give a lot to your wife.
No. Well. But I'm bumch.
Anyway, we've got a couple special guests tonight. Jim Cavanaugh, CEO of Worldwide Technology and also of St. Louis FC, and CFO Tom Strunk of Worldwide Technology and Soccer St. Louis FC.
And again, two more checkboxes on the Pizzagate, because these guys were hefty donors.
Very generous, very generous.
So we're really lucky to have them joining us. I know they're busy guys, and you know, to take time out to come here tonight, first of all, for something that's trying to help them is awesome. And second of all, to spend time with us losers, well, they're just the giving kind of people.
I don't know any other CEOs of clubs in USL that have been on the fans podcast.
Most of them don't even mention the fans.
Well, maybe Kyle Lang. Kyle Lang down in Arizona is good with the fans, but that might be the only one.
Well, after the season they had, he's got to keep them sweet too, you know?
Well, we're going to do what we can. So,
all right, let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll have Jim and Tom.
Hi, this is Ian Dark of ESPN, and you're listening to This Is Silly Podcast with the St. Luligans.
And we're back. This is silly.
So radio-like.
Yeah.
And we're back.
Joining us right now is Jim Cavanaugh, CEO of St. Louis FC, and Tom Strunk, CFO of St. Louis FC. Really appreciate you guys coming out.
Glad to be here. Yeah. Glad to be here.
They say that now.
Yeah.
I think we're glad to be here.
Yeah. Just wait. We'll eventually they'll get tired of us.
No, I mean, and, you know, we've wanted to have you guys on for a while. This is unfortunately a bad reason to have you on. We experienced a flood of, let's call it, epic proportions in the last couple weeks.
Almost biblical.
You know, we've got some challenges now to overcome at Soccer Park, but work's well underway, right?
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Tom.
Sure. Yeah. Epic, biblical, those are all apt descriptions of what transpired out at the soccer park. Obviously, the water had never been that high before, 5 feet. And just the speed at which the water was moving through the facility is just amazing. I mean, you guys have seen the pictures. I don't know if you guys have been out there personally, but that first field on the right that was installed at the same time, the main field, for that field to roll up literally like a sleeping bag, you think about the massive size of that sheet of turf. That water just was moving unbelievably. And, Jim, you were down there Saturday. You were talking about just where some of the other turf you found just driving around.
You know, I was down there a couple of different times. So just, I was down there Saturday to take a look at a few different things and actually pulling out of the park and coming out to get back on the highway. I was still seeing big pieces of turf wrapped around trees heading towards the Fenton golf course. So it's amazing. I mean, the damage it's done is just something we could have never envisioned, because if you think about it, since I've been recording these floods, there's been nothing like this that's ever gotten up to the building.
And I think that's important to raise. I mean, some people have said, well, it's built in a floodplain. What do you expect? No, we're prepared for a certain amount of river raise, but this was unprecedented. This was, I mean, no amount of sandbagging, no amount of anything could have stopped what happened this time.
And I'll tell you that Tom and I, we went to St. Louis U. I was the team that first actually started playing at the soccer park in 1983. One of the first teams, the first team. And since that time, there's been a lot of floods, but there's never been a flood that has actually reached the building.
Yeah,
and this insane. Not only reached the building, but I'll tell you, I went down, when in the middle of the flood, you couldn't even get to the entrance of the soccer park.
Yeah.
The entrance, I think there's a speed limit sign out in front that was 15 feet high, and it was up to the top. So it was just an incredible flood that there's just no way you could have predicted that something like this was going to happen.
So, we heard Patrick Berry. He went on local news. He said damage could be up to $1 million. I mean, we know the turfs aren't cheap. And a bigger impact, we're obviously concerned about St. Louis FC, but St. Louis Scott Gallagher, huge youth club that, you guys have games there, basically year-round, all day, every day. So it's not just we're impacted, but all the kids that play out at Soccer Park are impacted.
Yeah, absolutely, Brad. Starting mid-February, depending on how many fields we can get back that time, our youth leagues start, and we have 4,000 members of the club. So any given weeknight, there's well over 1,000 kids out there training, and weekends, could be as many as 5,000 people out there, members of our youth club out there training and trying to get ready for the spring season. So it is a big impact. I'm sure we'll talk about it more, but our commitment is it is devastating. I think your original question, Brad, was, repairs are well underway. In some ways we're still assessing it, the turf and what we can recover and what has to be new.
And I'm sure you're triaging. This needs to be done immediately. This can wait a month, things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, if you go inside the building now, basically 4 feet of drywall all throughout the building is cut up, ripped out, and we're assessing every piece of kitchen equipment, technology equipment.
Wait a minute. Was the beer saved?
I did hear a report. I think Pat had to go over to the other Mission Taco location. Thank you again, Mission Taco. We'll be saying that a lot tonight to meet his family. But one of the first reports Jim and I got, and it was a priority, is the beer coolers appear to be okay.
I was worried. As a Luligan, these are our concerns.
Yeah. Well, and as you know, since Anheuser-Busch built the place, we were very concerned because those were apparently custom beer coolers that were fit perfectly for the
size.
So it's not easily replaceable.
Least they seal up really good. That's the important thing.
Exactly.
If there's a place to get trapped, that's the place to get trapped in the beer cooler.
We found Brad in the beer cooler 4 days later.
So have your operations come to a dead halt, or have you had to cancel tournaments and stuff, or have you been able to move them to other Scott Gallagher facilities around the metro area?
For the most part, if you can look at the bright side of anything, the flood hit at a time at, I would say the least active time of the club and the kids, mm-hmm. with the holidays and everything, it's a downtime. especially throughout the holidays and the winter season. So there's been nothing critical from that perspective. But, you know, now we really have to be looking at things, as Tom mentioned. Starting March 1, we need to get things back in playing condition, and that's where we're working hard to do that. So I would say if there is any bright side to a very challenging situation, the timing of the flood was a good time to get a flood, if you could ever say there's a good time. Yeah.
I will also say, also lucky, you had some room out at Worldwide Technology where you've moved some offices from Soccer Park. So business as usual as far as selling season tickets and all of that stuff. Obviously it throws a kink in the works. You know, people have to go to a different place. But luckily, you did have a little area you could set off for them to get work done.
Yeah,
we did. I checked in just with some of the coaching staff and ICPK up at the bar tonight, and that space has proven to be,
second office?
What a surprise.
Yeah,
sorry,
really.
PK.
Shocking.
Anyway.
You know he's turning this in on his time card, right, guys?
obviously we're all in when it comes to the club in St. Louis FC and what we have going. So one of our first questions was, how do we make sure the sales staff and also the soccer side continues to focus on that? And I tell you, I know I'm speaking for Jim too, and Jim can add his comments. The amount of teamwork and effort from the members of the entire organization, St. Louis FC piece, and the youth club. And if you think about it, we've tried to let the St. Louis FC side of the organization continue to focus on preparing for the season, both on and off the field. The youth club guys have stepped up unbelievably. I mean, we're talking, you know, gloves, you know, sweeping, cleaning, picking up debris, and very, very long days. And so one of the things we're most proud of is how the organizations come together to really put the place back together. And we got a long way to go, but we can't thank them enough for everything they've done so far.
Well, it's definitely a village in that respect, too, is that, you know, this is everybody's club. It's, you know, if it's the U side, if it's the adult side, it doesn't matter. If it's your club, you've got to do what you can do. I'd be disappointed if people didn't. I know you can't count on charity like that, but that's what it's supposed to be about. You know, it's the whole integrity aspect of what you guys talk about. If you're not there when times are tough, then get out. You know, I mean, that's really the way it should be. You can't say that. I can't. I could be that kind of asshole.
Fair enough.
Yeah. That was an approval.
No, to Tom's point with this, I mean, it's an ugly situation. There's just no question about it. I would never expected to see something like this. But there's been so many people and organizations that have stepped up to really help, you know, just being friends and good citizens across the board. I was telling Tom, you know, Chris Emmerman, the president of the Blues, sent me a text, it's 2 days ago. Hey, how can we help? What can we do?
Score some goals. How about that?
Yeah. Well, that.
That's a different podcast.
Right. And I'm sure Chris would be supportive of that,
That's
too.
A lot angrier podcast right now.
Yes.
Well, and just things like tonight. Mission Taco, obviously a sponsor of the team. Their name is on the training jerseys. Mitch is wearing one right now. But tonight, they opened both of their locations.
Right.
They're usually closed on Monday nights. And they said, let's do something to help the effort. And so, I mean, it's packed. I mean, a lot of people here, a lot of people, and I heard lunch crowds were good, too. So any little thing that can help, people are chipping in, and you know, that's great.
You know, you're right. And this is great. I mean, and honestly, it's something that, as much as I wish that this never happened, you know, because we'd had so many things in play. Tom and I just actually came out of a board meeting for St. Louis FC and SLG. And we had everything laid out, closed out the budget for 2015, had everything lined out for 2016, all the budgets, everything was laid out. And literally, it got completely destroyed because of things, investments we had planned relative to the park, you know, different things that we're looking at. And we're not taking those things off the table yet. You know, we think we're going to continue to do some creative things to really bring the park back to where it was and actually make it better. And
I guess that was one of my questions tonight. I mean, obviously you guys had plans on improvements you're going to make to the facility, investments you're going to make in the team, be it players or just equipment. I mean, obviously this is a huge blow to hit you that you, you know, obviously this wasn't in the budget.
Right,
$1 million to fix everything that got flooded. But will it, I mean, it's got to impact a little bit some of your plans, but are you picking and choosing what needs to be done and what we can maybe put off another year or?
Yeah, I would say we are going, we're digesting, you know, the situation at this point. We're waiting for some feedback from a couple of our big contractors, especially the turf. You know, the challenges around the turf is a big one. But overall, from my perspective and Tom's perspective, we're pushing hard to get things back. And, I mean, it was literally the day that the water was down, we were out at the park. The staff was out there, the leadership. And I will tell you, you know, as fortunately Worldwide's, we're building a new corporate headquarters as we speak. And
you just lose some of the 2x4s that were meant.
Right, right. I will have to say, and Tom just brought me up to speed on some of this, that a lot of the contractors that we have that are working on our corporate building, they have really stepped up, you know, and Tom could give you some specifics. But out there the Sunday working overtime, a lot of the electricians coming in to help, you know, from a charitable perspective, really helping us out financially and just getting us back on there. Because if we didn't get, you know, the power turned up, we wouldn't have been able to actually move a lot of things forward. So as you guys mentioned here, there's just been a lot of people that have come together to support this effort, just like you guys here tonight, you know, bringing some visibility to this. So it's we feel
anytime
good.
Anytime we can drink beer and eat burritos for you, Jim, just let us know.
Yeah, and that burrito is one big burrito. Yes.
We don't even need the burritos, technically. We could just drink the beer.
Everything would be
or
good.
Eat the burritos.
I do have a question. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but you mentioned that the flood came at the best possible time a flood of that proportions could hit. Let's say it did happen in June. And we look at what happened at Austin last year. Is there any contingency plan for should that happen mid-season? Or is it now something you really have to think about, you know, going forward?
Yeah, I'll just be very candid with you. We did not have a in-season flood event contingency plan baked in. But it's something that as a board and as a front office staff, we have to obviously consider. Fortunately, you know, with our relationships in the community, I mean, I think there are some logical options for us. We got great relationships at St. Louis University, obviously. I mean, that would hold. I mean, there's a lot of financial impacts to all that, of course, but we could potentially, you know, continue on with the games. I think playing the games and having you know, the soccer experience would be okay, but obviously the fan experience of what we do from a full entertainment perspective would be impacted. Although as long as you guys are marching and playing the drums regardless, you know, I think you're going to bring a lot of energy to wherever we play. But let's hope
alcohol
that
has a little bit to do with that at times. So
I do. So
flu might be a problem.
We'll pay for it all before, and then we'll get everybody home.
But you heard him say, they saved the beer coolers. They know what's up.
Fair enough. I'm barking up the wrong tree here. I apologize.
Let's veer
away.
Have
you considered playing at a baseball stadium? Because that always
right.
works out well.
Right.
Yeah, you enjoyed that down in Louisville, didn't you? That little piece of turf covering the mound.
Let's veer away from the flood for just a second. Talk about a little happier things. First season, what were your guys' impressions? You obviously, when you started this venture, you probably had hopes, but you didn't necessarily know. Did it meet up to your expectations? Did it, you know, what do you guys think?
You know, quick answer is it exceeded my expectations. And, you know, if you look at it, and I'm talking about just the excitement of the team, the fan attendance, you know, the Luligans, you guys just tore it up. I mean, it was great. And you know, I think the thing that I think is so positive, we as a club, as an operator, we continue to learn every game. You know, from the first game, things got better. We were really focused on, you know, the customer, not customer satisfaction, but the customer experience and the fan experience. And I think it got better and better. And you guys were such a big part of it getting better and bringing that energy, and you really think about that fan experience. So that whole piece from a business standpoint also, very happy, you know, with ticket sales as they continue to progress. You know, you think about it, we weren't positioned to go into the playoffs last year, but we still saw that progression and sellouts at the end of the year. So that was really demonstrating and validating the fan experience. So all of the things relative to the to operating it and the engagement from our fans, and again, I say this, but you guys were such a big part of bringing that. I think we're in a really, really good position to tear it up next year and really take it to a whole nother level. Now, with that, we also know we need to ratchet up the performance on the field. And we do have plans, and we have been very focused on that.
I will say, you know, especially at the beginning of the season, there was a pretty big lull in the middle of the season. But early on, even when we weren't winning games, it was competitive. It was fun. I mean, we always had a good time at the park. It wasn't like, oh, we lost every game 9-0. Then maybe there'd be some cause for doubt and some cause for alarm. But we were close, and you mentioned the sellouts went up. Even when things were going bad, more people came out to the park. More people gave it a chance. I think it laid a really good foundation. So when this year Dale has just came back from the MLS Combine, he's identified all those diamonds in the rough, and you guys sign everybody that we want you to sign.
Right.
It's going to be, we're going to be turning people away at the park. They're going to be, you know, standing on the highway trying to watch the games. That's really where we want to be.
Well, there is turf out on the highway, so it'll be comfortable.
Fair enough. No, you're absolutely right, Brad. And Jim, you know, talking about that board meeting, you know, one of the themes we had just for the board and then coming into this year is we do want to make this the hottest ticket in town. And you'll hear us, you know, in addition to the marketing campaign we just rolled out, all 4-1.
Yes, I think everybody's on board with that.
Is everyone? I mean, does it get the Lugan thumbs up?
Yeah,
approval?
It really does. And I don't know if it was planned before the flood, because, I mean, that's a good marketing campaign anyway. But now with the flood, we're all in this together. I mean, it just kind of ties it all in.
Yeah, absolutely. That was before the flood. I told Jeremy, I go, we're good with marketing, but we're not that good. So that was all prepared. In fact, we had to delay it about 10 days based on, I think it was right after the New Year, so that we're going to roll all that out. But we really, truly do want to make it the hottest ticket in town. And, again, with the energy you guys have brought to the games and the momentum we have at the end of the season, despite, you know, the overall season not going the way we wanted on the field, we absolutely believe we can. We know it's not going to be easy, and we got to remain committed and focused to that fan experience, but we're up for the challenge.
I have a question, and again, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but...
Oh, please put Jim on the spot, Matt. This is no problem for me.
Going back 18 months, go back 3 years, the Luligans were essentially 20 drunk guys that used to go and watch the Lions. You know, and then Jeremy comes to you 18 months ago and says, hey, I've got this group of guys that I'm putting all my faith in to go stand in the corner and make an atmosphere. What did you guys think? Did you think he was crazy? Yeah, you know, I mean, Scott Gallagher's a very family-orientated club. You know, I mean, a lot of what some soccer fans and the harder core ultras and what have you do wouldn't fly, you know, in our environment. Was this trepidation, or did you just let Jeremy deal with it? Or?
Well, I hats off to Jeremy for working with you guys to continue to build and develop the relationship that we had. But I think it's something that we weren't looking for the hooligans of England. I mean, I get over there, you know, occasionally, and we have an office and love the game, the EPL game. I mean, I think it's the best league in the world. But that was out of control when the Luligans, the St. Louis Luligans, were literally beating the crap out of each other, and it was a point of where it was bad for the game of soccer. And I think where you guys bring in, there is this, you bring a unique capability or a unique, call it, offering to the organization, that there you have a high level of respect for the people at the club and you know, for the St. Louis Football Club and the people around you. But you bring an kind of an unbridled, you know, energy that you got to have. So we can't completely expect that to be, you know, just managed to perfection all the time. And that's where you guys take that role. And I truly believe where teams really come together is where there is a level of respect and appreciation for how you work together. And we don't manage you. You guys manage this situation. And that's the beauty of it. I mean, it has evolved from a smaller group to a larger group. And we respect the heck out of what you guys do on a daily basis over there. So my view, it's pretty easy when you have strong leadership like you guys sitting here, that you come together with the others, and none of us want to ruin a good thing. So there's an art and science to bring in that passion and that energy you guys bring with the entire team, and you manage it.
But you mentioned the EPL and everything being the best league in the world and what have you. But, you know, there's also in England, people go and watch League One and League Two, yeah, and they get 5,000 people at their grounds, and they are just as passionate about their teams as a Manchester United fan or as an Arsenal fan or what have you. And it's what I'm trying to explain to people. It doesn't matter the division you play in. It's as soon as you're emotionally invested in your club, you're sold, and you can't get away from that.
Couldn't agree more. And look at the FA Cup right now. I mean, is there anything better to sit there and flip it on? And I think we have better access to those games. And even when you're over in London, they don't have access to so many the amount of games that we have in the U.S. So when you watch, call it a tier three, you know, team playing Manchester United in their park that only holds 6,000 or 7,000 or 10,000 fans. Uh-huh. How exciting is that? I mean, that's just a great environment.
Well, and as you're saying that, Jim, over your shoulder, they're playing some St. Louis FC highlights from the year here at Mission Taco. It's our game against Sporting Kansas City. I mean, for us, that was such a great day.
Wow, I was looking up there, and I was like, holy cow, that doesn't look like a park.
But that was such a great day. We went out there, and, you know, it was a big day for us. And however many of us were there, I think we equipped ourselves well. And, I mean, nothing better. I mean, we ended up losing the game, but it was a close game.
But also, there is nothing different than what we did that day than what, say, a Crew Alexandra fan will do if they get drawn against Liverpool and go to Anfield.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same experience of the minnow going and taking on Goliath. And it happens all over the world. And I think sometimes American fans have some sort of an inferiority complex. And we're looking for respect and credibility. There was nothing different about what we did on that Tuesday night than what happens all over the world. You know, it's no different.
It is. I mean, I you know, the Open Cup, I think just the structure of it and being able to go up and play and even at KC, they absolutely, you know, there was a lot of talk about you guys up there. And of all the professional teams that have come into town, they've never had one that brought the amount of energy that you brought to that game. And, you know, I think that fired up their team, you know, and our team was fired up.
Because essentially it was our cup final, and we appreciated that. You know, you don't have a team for 5 years, and then all of a sudden you're walking into that stadium to support your own club. There was no finer moment. But I tell you what, with the moves the club's making this off season, how badly do you want another crack at them next year?
Just happy to be in the big show, one game at a time. All those cliches that I heard you guys say last podcast. Yeah. That would be awesome. It was a great Open Cup run this year, and you know, any shot next year, obviously, we would relish the opportunity. So,
and talking about the, you know, third division, I mean, we can argue whether USL is really third division or second division or what it'll be next year. But, I mean, it's a good level of soccer, and what we've preached...
So let me ask, what's your opinion? What division is it?
Oh, I think, I mean, there are differences between NASL and USL, but I don't think they're huge. I'm worried about... Well, I don't know if I'm worried is the right word. I don't think NASL's current trajectory is sustainable. I don't think... They're losing teams faster than they're gaining teams. And that could be due to a number of reasons. I think their decision to attack MLS head-on versus USL's decision to work with MLS and realize, no, we're not going to compete with them, but we can benefit from a relationship with them. I mean, you can just look. I mean, NASL's structured, whether they have 12 teams now, I think.
Well, the Sting were kind of announced, sort of announced.
And USL is pushing on, trying to get to 40, and they're going in that direction. So I think USL's positioned itself well. I think in a couple of years, sure, there's a few teams that aren't maybe set up for Division II just yet with the qualifications they have to meet, but I think it's moving in the right direction, and I think it's strengthening the league in general. But getting people out to the games really is, I mean, that's our message. Just come out once. If you don't have fun, fine. You can go home and sit and wait for MLS, but I think we're having the time of our lives, and Matt always brings up the point, be careful what you wish for. We wouldn't have the relationship with the team, with the front office, with the players that we do now. So for me right now, it's USL's hitting a home run.
The Kraft family is not sitting at a table at Mission Taco with us.
No. Absolutely right.
You know, and going a step further, you know, the Kraft family's not buying or renting a bus for us to go out to Kansas City. You know, those kind of things. You guys kept talking about, you know, how we bring, but you guys enable us.
I think the access we enjoy at this level, you know, I can go to public training sessions and speak to the players. You know, Jeremy texts me when Liverpool have won to tick me off, and the level of access we get at this level will not be replicated higher up the pyramid, and I really am enjoying where we're at. As for where I see USL. It depends whether you're standing in Sacramento or Harrisburg. You know, if you're standing in Sacramento, you think you're Division Two. If you stood in Harrisburg or getting changed in a tent in Charlotte, you think you're Division Three.
Yeah, I think, there's a lot of variable experiences across USL. You guys know, I'm sure you get calls from the road. You won't believe this locker room or maybe this team's doing it a little. There's something we could learn from this team. You know, there's a variance of experience, which I think is to be expected. But the new ownerships that USL is announcing, I think, seem to be stronger. They're going in a, more positive direction. One thing I will say that I love about you guys is I don't think I've ever heard you guys interviewed when you're talking about MLS as your priority. And it's refreshing, quite frankly, because, Cincinnati, San Antonio, they're not even in USL yet, and they're already talking about what's next. I love the fact that you guys are focusing on where we're at.
Now, and my view is I really do think bigger is not always better. I mean, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. And, you need to enjoy the journey. You need to also you look at the quality of the things that you're doing. So it's not just the size of what you're doing, but it's do you really enjoy the experience? And so, when we looked at the club and what we're doing, that's what we're focused on here. We're focused on creating the best club in the country that helps develop our players on and off the field and gives back to the community. And part of that giving back to the community and making a decision on the USL team was we felt that is doing that. And we see that with the connections that we're making, with you guys here and everybody else that is coming together. So when you come out to the soccer park for a game, it is truly, it's a great experience. I mean, I'm biased, obviously, but, everybody that comes out, I've heard people that aren't soccer fans and different individuals that have come out and they're like, wow, this is a lot of fun. This is high energy. It's outdoors. It's not too big, but it's just that right size. So we're really enjoying it, and we don't feel that there is an unnecessary need to push to say we have to get to the MLS. So if it happens, fantastic. If not, we're very, very happy with what's going on today.
And I will add that you touched on it, the relationship between our pro team and our youth club. It's funny, a lot of these pro teams that are starting are scrambling to develop that youth club, even at the MLS level, trying to put together an academy and maybe stealing, a couple of youth organizations that are currently in their city and glomming them together. But it's refreshing that you already have that in place. Gallagher is, you know, respected nationwide. You guys develop quality players. I mean, they're in the APL. They're in MLS. You know, great guys. And we've already got that base to sort of build on. And I think it's great that some of the kids playing today, U10, U13, U18, actually have a path that they can look at and aspire to. You know, they come on Saturday night, they watch you guys play, and they think, you know, 5 years from now, I could be there. So, I mean, for me, it's just amazing that you guys have that built in when so many others are playing catch-up trying to build an academy.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Brad. You know, I think Richmond Kickers maybe was the only other organization that in USL that truly had that youth organization and kind of added the pro team at the top over time. We were certainly unique more recently from a USL perspective. And we've worked hard to put ourselves in that position to fill out the top of the pyramid. The other thing I'll say, and you guys know this, we've worked really hard. We will never lose and run from the affiliation with the youth club. We are owned and operated by St. Louis Scott Gallagher, and we are affiliated with them. However, from the naming of the team to how we've tried to outreach, we want to make sure that people feel connected to this team from the entire community, and that's all the youth clubs, and that's all supporters, and so hopefully people see a genuine interest in our efforts there because it is very sincere.
Yeah, and I'll give you some specifics and even some recognition to what we would normally consider as our competition on the youth level. But the competition, we need competition at the youth level, and you need it to be healthy competition. You know, the Lou Fews Soccer Club is our largest competitor on a local level. We have a great relationship with that organization. Philip Fews, you know, has texted me multiple times, and I've got breakfast with him tomorrow or Wednesday.
Is that an invite?
Yes. You guys are that would be great. That would be very good.
Follow Jim and Tom around. Right.
Yeah, that's right.
But his point was, hey, how can I help? How can I help? I know this is – and you know, that's – I told him, I said, I'm – you know, was just couldn't be happier to see, you know, the text that he sent me. And he said, no, I mean this. How can we help? So when you see that, you're going to go and fight and compete on the field. But I think we're creating, you know, a better soccer organization, a better soccer community, and just a better community overall.
And we've seen some of the other clubs come out to the games. But, I mean, honestly, you know, my first reaction when I heard St. Louis Scott Gallagher was going to be, you know, involved in this, I was afraid it would alienate some of the other clubs. But you guys have made a good effort to reach out to those clubs, make them feel welcome. And you do see kids with Lou Fews shirts at the park or, you know, Glavin shirts. Yep. I mean, you see other clubs there. So I think you guys have done a really good job with that. The pro team is related to St. Louis Scott Gallagher, but it belongs to the entire city.
Correct. Absolutely.
But if Lou Fews have got an 18-year-old who can score 20 goals a season, you think Jeremy's turning him away?
Bring him on. Yes, you got it.
We're holding one spot for Mitch still, but if that doesn't work out, we'll go after that kid.
Well, the problem is I don't have you to serve it to anymore.
Understood.
You know, it's hard to not do it without my target.
By the way, is the Hall of Fame jacket, is it in the car, or is it...
It's a little cold for it today.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you wear it out.
No, I'm going for the Ric Flair room, I think. I want the big sequins and the
very
feathers.
Nice.
And the,
very
you know,
nice.
Well, Ric Flair, that's bringing back a name.
Damn right.
That is something to mention. You both have a history in soccer. A lot of teams have a coach that used to play professional soccer, but we've actually got a CEO and a CFO that used to play professional soccer. And Jim played on the United States national team.
Yeah, can I just correct the record?
Okay.
The fact that I received one per diem payment for a bus trip to Kansas City back in MISL does not qualify as a professional contract.
You have a trading card.
I would never stop saying I was a professional soccer player.
Okay. I just want to you got my stats, though, right? Zero games played, zero minutes played, zero goals.
You know how many trading cards the three of us have?
Zero.
Yeah. Hold on. Well, I'll be Tom's PR man. Now, this guy was at the top of his game. I mean, he was ready to break all the records, and then he came down there, some type of ankle injury or something.
Happened to me, too.
Same problem.
Was it left or right?
I can't remember.
I do also want to
mention. Probably my left, because I never use my left foot.
I do also want to mention that Steve Petcher is running around here, and we know for a fact that you're better than he is, Jim.
Correct.
Because
that is correct.
They got rid of him and brought you in.
Right,
so.
Right. That was quite hysterical, I have to say.
So now that makes two U.S. Men's National players on our podcast.
That's right. I think we're beating everybody.
We're beating everybody. That's like, no question.
It's like suck them on in over here, isn't it?
I know. I'm telling you. We need better advertisers. Oh, speaking of which, thanks to Your Electric.
Thanks to Your Electric. Thanks to Mission Taco once again. Big contributors to the Pizzagate. We also mentioned Jim and Tom both were contributors to our Pizzagate campaign.
Massive contributors.
That was a fun thing that happened. Never expected it to get that big. But again, you know, the club promoted it because we promoted it, and it snowballed into something really special for the city of St. Louis, for the St. Louis Area Food Bank. So thank you guys for helping with that.
Oh, man, that was great.
So much fun.
It really was. Just sitting there and watching that, you know, that is a perfect example how something small can continue to build into something, you know, significant. And Tom and I have been watching, you know, as you guys come on and you started, I'm like, what is that? What are they doing? And you could see it building and people contributing. I'm like, wow, that's fantastic. You know,
they made a joke and all of a sudden it's real.
You know, very impressive.
That seems to be the way a lot of our things work, actually. It starts off as a joke and all of a sudden it's legitimate.
What did you guys, let's flip it around a little bit. So what, So what did you think about, you know, the league, or, you know, just the experience and the building of the overall Luligans throughout the year? Did you expect that going into the season?
I was very optimistic going into the season. I think that was part and due to the fact that Sacramento Republic were a first-year team and won the championship straight off the bat. And I think that kind of put us in a very optimistic frame of mind. And really, we were where we were with Tulsa and Charlotte, you know, the other first-year franchises. We don't really consider Louisville a first-year franchise because they moved from Austin to Orlando to Louisville. We were where we were. And, yeah, you know, the dog days of summer kind of got to us a bit. But if you'd have said to us this time last year, you know, you're going to go to Kansas City, you're going to have a come-from-behind win against Charleston, you're going to take 4 points off Oklahoma City that were good the year before.
You're going to tie in the Kings Cup, which technically we tied in the Kings Cup. They, you know, beat us on goals.
You're going to see Alec Kahn and Patrick Doody, two of your players, go and play in MLS. We just snapped your hands off. And I always said, I said this on the pre- and post-game show with Jim and Zach, if we lose, I just want the people of St. Louis to understand the level of competition they're watching. Because when the team was announced 18 months ago, I started watching the league, and I was like, ooh, you know, this is no joke. I didn't want them to get disheartened with the fact that this was a very, very good league. And even though the first game we lost at home to Rochester, I was like, Rochester are a good team.
Right.
You know, even back then, you could see that these were not messing around. You know, so
it's easy when you're not paying the players.
That's true. Sorry. Not paying the tax.
You guys don't have to comment on that. But,
but
again, we'll say all that needs to be said.
I'll just throw in a little extrapolation here.
The biggest thing I took out from the season was the St. Louis public understood what they were seeing. Even though we may not have won every game we could have, they understood what they were watching, and they wanted more of that.
I will say, from a St. Luligan standpoint and how we grew over the year, we knew we had an organization in place. We knew we had foundation. I mean, we'd been doing it for many years, but it was a much smaller group. But when people started to come in, we kind of had a base to go by. And we watched some of the other new teams and their supporter groups, and they kind of had to learn on the run, and they made a lot of mistakes that we had made a couple years ago. So I think we were more prepared for that.
The trip to Indy was a big part, where we went to Indy and saw how they did it on a big scale.
Yeah.
And immediately we had people step up and say, hey, you know what? I can do that role. I can do that. So we had that foundation to build upon where nobody else did, none of the other first teams. And I think that was a huge part. And again, thanks to you guys for taking us to Indy.
But I think we did get bigger than I thought we would get, quicker than I thought we would get. You know, I thought it would be a slow growth, and immediately the corner was full, and it stayed pretty full all year. Now, not everybody is as bought in as everyone else, but when they came in, they realized there was an organization, there was a flow to things, and everybody pretty much joined in. Our challenge for the next year and going forward is when we do those chants, to get the opposite side of the field to join in with us. And they did it a few times. And when they did, it was amazing. The Minnesota game, you know, the Open Cup game, everybody was in it. And, you know, it's like if we can get that on a regular, you know, just Saturday night game that really doesn't even mean anything, it'll increase the atmosphere so much. So we always like to tell people, you don't have to sit in the corner to be a Luligan. You don't have to, you know, come tailgate before the game to be a Luligan. Game day, we're all there, we're all pulling for the team, and, you know, get those chants louder, get the songs louder, and the team will feed off of it. So we're impressed with how quick it got there, but we still have ambitions to get bigger.
That's excellent, excellent. I mean, again, we've said it all in terms of our appreciation for what you guys have done, and I know I'm personally looking forward to seeing how big the group can continue to grow. How many members would you guys, how many do you claim at this point?
It's hard to say because unlike a lot of groups, we don't charge a membership. You know, I don't want $20 to be the difference between somebody feeling a part of the group and not.
That's smart.
The corner, we say roughly holds 500 and we fill it. So
300 to 500 has been kind of the bantered about number. It's just,
yeah, we sold almost 500 scarves last year. So, I mean, that's a pretty good gauge of how many members we have. But yeah, it's, I mean, eventually we'll get to that point where we probably have to elect officers and we have to do all that stuff. But right now, it's
really
just,
we don't want to. We want to put it off as long as we can.
And it's if there's a role you can fill, if there's something we're not doing and you want to do it, go for it. And it's going good so far. So
what I enjoyed last year also was that I think instead of being a supporters group in a traditional sense, like Brad said, that charge membership dues and have everything that go along with that, I think we're more of a movement in a way, because you'd see on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, people had hashtag Luligans, but they were sat on the bleachers on the other side of the field, or there'd be a kid and his mom sat in the VIP seats, and they wanted to feel part of it, and you know, and that was the mantra: you show up, you make noise, you have fun, and if they want to class themselves as Luligans, even though they weren't technically stood in the corner, they're just as part of it as anyone else, you know.
Well, one of my favorite stories was the women's national team game. There were two guys wearing Luligan scarves, and I didn't know who they were, which I used to know everybody who was a Luligan. Now it's, you know, I see so many people. But I went up to these guys and I said, "Well, that's a great scarf, guys. Glad you're having fun." And they said, "Who the hell are you?" And
you get that a lot, right?
Well, yeah, and we laugh about it. But, I mean, that really is a testament to how far we've come, that, you know, I would see kids, you know, wearing our Luligan jerseys that they bought from ultras.com at the game. And they went and got names and numbers put on the back. And
yeah, the one team, they had the five-a-side team that wore Luligan jerseys.
Yeah, at a Gallagher tournament, you know, and it's...
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was, when that happened, it was almost like a tear to your eye where it's just kind of like,
we made it.
There was a mom that Instagrammed a picture holding her baby, and she had hand-drawn the skull and crossbones on the baby's shirt, you know? Like, things like that, like, they really make you appreciate, wow, this is working,
oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, when there's a handmade baby onesie out there, we encourage pirated gear like that.
Yeah, we won't sue for copyright.
I will have to say, your the marketing stuff you guys have put together is pretty darn good.
That's Bradley. It's all Bradley.
Don't look at me.
the guy's sharp at this. He's humble and a cripple, but you know, but he's a.
I tell my wife it's my full time job that I don't get paid for. So,
you know, like all the scarves, all the Instagram, Twitter, and all that kind of stuff. He's on it. It's.
I have a lot of free time.
We really need to find a way to steal more money for this group for
I
you.
Know, right?
You guys do a great job with the social media stuff. I know it's a reason for me to check it every day just to keep pulse. And I can't believe Jeremy's not divulging the name of the forward we signed. Is it? I mean, should I tell you guys now or how?
Evan Herrera?
We do.
You mean that guy?
We do have a guy at the airport waiting on flights from El Salvador just in case.
This isn't our first rodeo. We have
not heard that name.
Oh, there's someone else?
You son of a...
Here's the thing. 10 years ago, general managers, owners, things like they didn't have to worry about Twitter.
Yep.
Now there's Twitter, and you know, some El Salvadoran drug lord tweeted about how he was sad he was going to miss Irwin when he moved on to St. Louis, and that's all you really need. You know,
all it takes is that.
That sort of research. So, hey, Jim, disregard that email I sent you about not announcing Herrera as a signing.
I thought he was coming as a new sales guy for Worldwide.
Whatever it takes.
He does have a family. You know, he's got to keep up, you know, off-season job.
So if that's true, have you guys seen any film or any feedback?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a top 10 goals on YouTube. Yeah.
So
the third one's
gorgeous.
If you
get the ball to him anywhere from, like, chest down, he's going to score. That's what we like.
He looks exactly what we need, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. We watched the video, and we got excited. Especially when you're going to have, you know, Chad and Barkley behind them feeding him.
Let's mention that since our last podcast, Chad Bond was officially announced as a player.
Tulsa broke that one open for everybody, too, as well.
Let's explain. We have a rule kind of if Jeremy tells us not to mention something, we won't mention it. But if other people start talking about it, then we think it's open season at that point.
Fair game. So. Totally get it.
But Chad Bond, it was Tulsa's captain last year. It's always nice when you can steal a rival's captain. And he looks like he'll do the business for us.
Oh, that's
like
the thing, too. As soon as I saw Herrera's highlight film, it was Bond to Herrera in my mind all day long. It's like, this is just going to set up perfectly.
Again, we want to go on record as saying, this isn't official. Like, we haven't signed the guy yet, but we would love to be at a press conference where his name was mentioned.
I think he's coming to play for the Ambush.
Oh. I hear they're looking
for strikers. Well, they've got a vacancy now.
The bird giveth, the bird taketh away.
Yes, he does.
It is 1:10.
Wow.
Which is what they'll be on Friday.
We were excited. Can't comment on the forward you mentioned, but we were excited when Jeremy told us about Chad Bond. He looks like he's going to fill an important role.
And the guys
for us
we're bringing back, we all see lots of bright spots in the guys we're bringing back. I mean, somebody said, you know, you change everybody. And I was like, this isn't fantasy league. You don't play a wild card and change every player on your team. Obviously, you know, I mean, aside from contracts being involved, they were brought in here for a reason, and they fulfilled the roles that Dale and Jeremy were looking at. So I don't think we're that far away. A couple of really good players here and there can make all the difference in the world in a team.
I think if you'd have said to us 6 months ago, which guys would you like back? A lot of the names on that recurring list would have been the names we mentioned.
Yeah.
But I said it at the end of the season. You know, we just need two or three proven producers in this league. And Chad, who was fourth best in assists last year in 23 games, you know, he's right up there.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, getting some guy that can put in the service, it changes the whole outlook.
And you also have to get lucky. I mean, we've talked about, you know, Bird mentioned both Koenig and Fondy didn't have the greatest year the year before and then broke through. We need a breakthrough guy. I mean, obviously, yeah, I'd like to sign nothing but all-stars, but you don't do that. You have to identify characteristics. You have to identify diamonds in the rough, as we've mentioned, and hope they break through. And I still think we have a couple of guys that we had here last year that it maybe didn't break all the way, but I see flashes of it where it could be their year. It could be Jeremy Lynch's year. It could definitely be Jameel Hardware's year.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I saw enough of the players that we're bringing back that I get why they're being brought back.
Yeah. Now, I think we've got a good, you know, a sound team, and I think we need to round it out with some additional players that, you know, that's exactly what we're trying to do. And I think we've had some injuries last year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, that we get our players healthy, and then we make the additions that we're talking about. And, and then on top of it, you know, you have to come together as a team. And, you know, and that is part of the coach and part of the staff to bring that team together.
And I will say at the end of the season when they put together that little streak, that was positive. If we had gone and we would have lost, like, the last four games in a row, it would have been a little disheartening, but we saw it, you know, maybe a little late, but it did click, and there's positive momentum there. So it makes a big difference going into the offseason and starting the new season.
If we'd have had that game against Charleston in July, the season could have been quite different. I think that was the breakout game we were all waiting for, you know. So, but as Brad says, there's a lot of positives going into the offseason.
Yeah, well, I was just going to give you guys an update because I was in a meeting earlier, Jim. You were tied up with your other job at Worldwide, not focused on the season like
again,
I am, guys.
He's at just, the job that pays him well versus the job that doesn't pay
just
at all.
You know. Yeah. But I was very pleased to hear, and you guys probably already have this text from Jeremy, but apparently Brandon Barklage is coming along very nicely in terms of his off-season training and his health. So
that's good to hear.
Very optimistic about that as well.
Yeah, because that's
like
a cornerstone.
He'll be like a new signing again. I mean,
yeah.
And it was his team.
He'd be like Wilshere at Arsenal. Oh, no. No.
but with Barklage, it's his team. He's the captain. It's his team. And I think that's what he wants to be. He wants to be the guy that when he pulls in on a morning before training, he looks around and goes, this is my club. This is my team. You know, and...
Yeah, it's hard to do it when you're injured. Yeah. You know, it's hard to be that guy when you can't get out on the field. So,
the other thing that's a reality, and you guys talked about bringing a core group back, is it is a group, and they are a team. And so they know each other more. The other report I got earlier from both Jeremy and Dale is, you know, the guys, I forget, some sort of group chat thing, not just messaging, but some application or whatever, but the guys are pushing each other, getting fit for the season, ready to go.
Well, it definitely makes a difference. Yeah. I mean, last year they were all kind of thrown together. You know, the first year of the team, you know, getting signed late or whatever. It makes a difference. Now they know each other. It's a little bit more that comfortable feeling of, you know, oh, I can count on, you know, Musa to do this. I can count on Bushu to do this. So I think they're in much better shape going into the second season.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I think there's some energy that they have because they want to come back and play in front of these crowds. They want to come out. I mean, as a player, you want to play in this environment. You want to play where there's energy, where there's intensity, where there's, you know, the Luligans going crazy over there. I mean, these are things that you can go into environments that just don't have that energy.
Toronto too.
I mean there's different, you know, levels at you know, in all different sporting environments that just don't bring that. And I think we have the unique opportunity to bring something special that as a player you need to recognize that, because not every area or every team that you're going to play for is going to be able to bring that kind of energy. And I think if they bring that, you know, the fans will reciprocate and step it up. So I think there's a lot of the players that are like, wow, that was pretty cool last year. You know, I want some more of that. And I want to get back involved. I'm ready to get back in the game here. So we'll see. But I think there's a lot of things that are connecting, you know, that are going to put us in a position to create a lot of fun for a lot of people.
Now, and that's the thing that as fans – It's cool to be able to keep up with this. Again, the shortcomings of Twitter are also the awesome things about Twitter, is that you see that, you know, you'll even see, you know, Jordan Roberts post something and one of the guys give him crap. You know, you see those kind of bonds happening. You see all this just build up to the season, all the signings, all the other clubs talking. I mean, when granted, you know, they're mad that we stole their guy, but Tulsa's just like, you're getting somebody special. And then all of a sudden other people are coming into the conversation. You're seeing this build up to where the lights are on. You know, it, everybody's kind of like, okay, let's get this going. Is it April yet? So let's get a schedule. That would be nice. Can you make that happen, Tom?
I'll have that for you by not the end of this week, but the end of the following week, Jeremy tells me.
There you go. Believe him?
I have no option but to believe him.
I mean, look at the guy. He's right, nothing but trouble.
Here's the thing. I believe you, but I also believe I'll get it on Twitter before I get it from Jeremy.
Salvadorian drug boss.
Well played.
We'll get it to you before he does. How about that? We'll
I mean, make sure it is the nature of the beast. We're impatient. We want to know exactly right now, where am I going? Because we're planning vacations. We're thinking, oh, we might play Seattle. My wife's always wanted to go to the Pacific Northwest, and you know, we don't tell her it's a game that weekend. We just tell her we're going to Seattle for a romantic weekend.
Because we went to Seattle in the fall, and my wife's like, I want to go back. I'm like, Funny you mention that. I think going in the summer would be a great little trip. I'll have my miles from work. We should take another trip to Seattle on a game weekend.
Yeah. So all kidding aside, Jeremy, that is the date that he just gave me today in the kind of our update. And we're obviously pushing because it's a big part of our marketing campaign.
Sure.
It's hard to sell tickets when people aren't sure when they're going to be available and what the games are. So.
Speaking of tickets, I know you guys aren't maybe necessarily in the trenches, but how are season ticket sales going? Did you get a report at that meeting today?
I actually did, and so I will tell you that we are ahead of schedule. We are ahead of schedule compared to last year, and so we're optimistic that it's going to be a good year and that we're going to continue to build upon the momentum and ultimately make this, you know, the toughest ticket in town.
Nice.
We need that schedule. And then we need a few more player signings to really boost it. Big step this week with our marketing campaign, All Floor One, which we're excited about. And hopefully the momentum continues to build.
So how many games do you think we can have next year where we actually have such a demand where we're not going to be able to let people into the park?
We had games last year where people were coming to us saying, hey, can we get a ticket for this game? And we were turning them away going, hey, you know, we've been saying that, Pat Kelly's been saying they've been short demand for a couple of weeks now. You come into us a Friday before the game on a Saturday, we got nothing.
Right.
Because we have a little like ticket exchange where so-and-so can't go to this game, but they'll need an extra for the game in 2 weeks, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, we usually try to have a reserve so people bring a new friend to a tailgate, we can get them in for free for that, you know, like a good drug dealer. Give them the first taste for free, and then they come back.
They're nodding way too much in agreement over here.
You can't prove we're nodding.
Towards the end of the season last year, we were scrambling for people.
It was funny because people would say, is there a chance of me getting one? And we're like, just go buy one. Well, there's no GA left. There's only seat. Get a seat and come sit with us. You have no choice.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. I mean...
And
quite honestly, we're losing and doing that, that's insane.
I do feel bad, and I think I need to apologize to both of you because we do have several people that last year bought season tickets over in the expensive side and this year have downgraded their tickets to stand with us. So you may have lost a little bit of money, but they're passionate fans.
Volume. We're doing volume instead of quality. Yeah. That's what we're looking for.
I'll tell them they have to buy a jersey to offset the offset the cost.
Please do.
A third jersey?
If we hit the ground running and we have a season like Louisville did this year, it will be insane. And it's the hope that kills you, I know that, but I mean.
But, yeah, if we string together, you know, 4 or 5 wins, I think you're going to be at that point where, you know, there are no more even standing room only tickets.
Yeah.
And then I've always said it creates a problem for you guys because you're going to have to invest more. You're going to have to put in some more stands and things like that. But, you know, as much as I love you, I want to create a problem for you.
Yes.
I want, you know.
And we want that problem. We do want that problem.
We want to make you spend money. That's what it comes down to.
So, something that I noticed last year, and it goes back to what Mitch was just saying about Tulsa fans and Louisville fans was all talking with each other, is that after about the second or third game last season, USL really started to take notice of the atmosphere and the game day experience. And I noticed that the Sacramento fans were getting jealous because no one was talking about them anymore. And it may happen to us, you know, the USL may go all out on Cincinnati and what they're doing, and it may happen to us. But I noticed that the other established teams' fans, specifically Sacramento, got very jealous of all the attention we got. And I'm prepared for it to happen to us this season, but it was kind of cool, I thought, to see that.
How did you assess that?
Pardon?
How were you seeing that?
Oh, well, on the USL Facebook page, they do a, let's say they did a story about Louisville City, and Louisville City got 7,000 people for their win against Wilmington, and Black, you know, the 7,000 people, you know, the highest record attendance in Kentucky. And then there'd be a guy underneath going, yeah, but Sacramento get 11,000. You know, where's, you know, and no one was talking about them anymore to a degree.
I think it's a bit of flavor of the month.
I think
so. You know, we're the new guys, and I expect that with
Santa. No, we're going to be chocolate. It's always going to be there, and it's always going to be a good option.
But I expect that with San Antonio. I mean, of course, they've already got the Crocketeers from the Scorpions and NASL that are moving over, but Cincinnati will have, you know, their moment in the sun.
Uh-huh.
It just happens. It's the nature of the beast. But I think last year the USL really glommed on to us in Louisville. You know, yes, it was a manufactured rivalry, but it became something new and exciting for two new teams to, you know, normally it'd be two expansion teams. Who cares if they're playing? But the fans were both into it, and, you know, as much as shit as we give the Coopers and the other 18 supporters groups from Louisville
City. 19, there's another one now.
But it was good. It was good for the league, and I think the league, you know, piggybacked on that a little bit. So, but I expect it with the new teams, too.
I do, too. But
they won't be as good as us, obviously.
I did bask in the moment, though, I gotta say.
And it's earned, though. I mean, it's been work to get to this point from you guys on down. You know, giving us the opportunity to do what we want, Jeremy giving us what we need, the players being accessible, Brad being, you know, artistic and, you know.
I think it's really going to kick up autistic. A notch when we bring a monkey to the park next year.
Yeah, you did sign off on that one, right?
No props, no props.
Because I need a monkey to go get me a beer.
Yeah. It's a beer monkey. It's a standard rider. Yeah, it's...
Oh, no, you can bring it on a plane. It's okay.
It's my emotional support monkey.
Yes, you got a support monkey. Maybe fling poo at a corner kick.
No, you know. I'll tell you, I think next year it's going to be interesting to watch how things develop. We've got some work to do to put the park back together, but we will, and I think by putting it back together and with the support of everybody involved, I think we're going to be stronger because of it. I think we're going to be in a better position, and I really do think there is, when you build something special, there's a number of different connections that you can't really relate to, and a lot of times it's what you guys are doing, it's connection with the, I don't think that, you know, our connection to the club, that all of the fans within the club were even coming out, and then you look at the community, you know, I think that's building up. And Matt, I think, you know.
Oh, there's a bigger pocket to tap.
Yeah, yeah. As you articulated, I think there's just a lot of things going right now that we're brewing, you know, in the first year, and that's only our first year, that are going to create an environment next year. And there is a limited amount of tickets. You know, there's a limited amount of space that we have, and we'll pack them in and make sure it's safe. You know, it's a safe environment. But I do think, if we continue to build on what we have here, we're going to create some real excitement, and I think it's going to create limited capacity. I think it's going to be a hot ticket. I really do.
And those of us who were there from the beginning will be, you know, thankful, and we'll always be able to say, I remember when Soccer Park only held 5,000 people and we were there.
No, but I mean, you say that in jest, but it's true. You know, how many of us will be able to say, when Jeremy Lynch celebrated his winner against Des Moines and it was 40 degrees and we're all freezing to death, how many were there?
Right.
Matt Madden was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, how many were you guys over at one of the preseason games at SIU, right?
On the berm.
On the berm.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, there was probably about 75, give or take, maybe 100.
And that was when we first noticed it, that we went there. It was snowing. It was kind of a yucky day.
We were expecting 25 people.
Boy, this is going to be rough. And we got there, and it was like, oh. And it was not just the usual suspects. It was new people. It was people I'd only talked to online. And it was like, this is going somewhere. You know, people are buying in. And we were doing chants and things like that that we'd only, like, typed out on, you know, Facebook or on Twitter. And people were singing them, you know. So it was like, this is going to build, and it will gradually build. And I don't know, we're all excited to be a part of the beginning, but we know this isn't just the first step.
Infancy. And that's the other cool thing, too, is that you can see that there's a good foundation to grow on. That, you know, like you said, we've got the right guys in place. We've got the good, you know, management, ownership, the whole nine yards. You know, it's like there's only one way to go but up. That's a good feeling. They're not... I mean, we're not used to having a team make the second season. That's kind of a new thing for us.
Yeah, thanks for coming back.
Yes. It's kind of a low bar to to hurdle, but no. You guys know how much we've appreciated what you've put into this. And really, from day one, Jim, myself, the leadership team, everything has been around how do we build this in a sustainable fashion and for the long term. And to your point earlier, Brad and guys, about – MLS, you know, we're just happy trying to be the best USL franchise we can be. And we're remaining focused on that. And something like that opportunity pops up a decade down the road, it will be because we've earned it collectively as a team, not because we set that as a goal day one before we've had an opportunity to even talk about it.
So. I want it to be because we have no more room in the trophy case that we have to upgrade.
Fair enough.
Be good.
That's my intent. Yep. You know, I want to have, like, to the point where Jim walks around and he's just got, like, rings on every finger. You know, just like...
I think MLS to come to us because they're embarrassed because we're such a good team and they beg us.
Yeah. We keep turning them down.
Yeah.
They're going to pay us $100 million to come in.
They give you the $100 million expansion fee. Exactly.
I like it.
Well, I mean, this has been a great night. Jim, Tom, thanks for joining us. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedules. And thanks, Mission Taco.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, let me throw out one more time, if you didn't make it out to Mission Taco today or if you're just a generous sort, go to stlouisfc.com. There's a link there where you can donate directly to the Rebuild the Park Fund, and every bit is appreciated because that's less money these guys have to scramble to come up with at the end of the day.
And the best way to do this is to buy your season tickets.
That's right.
Yes.
Call
yes.
PK, get your season tickets, get as many season tickets as you can afford, buy a second one for a friend or child or lover, whoever it may be.
Absolutely. So,
or all three. No, that's weird.
Yep. I'll leave the last comments for Jim here. But thanks to you guys for having us out tonight. Jim mentioned earlier at the beginning about how we're trying to rebuild, and we are rebuilding the soccer park. There have been so many contractors and friends of the club, St. Louis FC, and worldwide that have come out. I want to make sure I don't miss anybody, so I'm not going to mention them all here. But rest assured, we appreciate it, and we'll find the right forum to make sure we recognize them. But you guys should know, as fans of the club, the community and friends of both the club and worldwide have really stepped up in a big way to help us get back on track.
Before you leave, what soccer teams do you support outside the city? Outside of St. Louis FC, what teams do you follow?
So I'm not having a great time right now.
Manchester United?
Yes.
Attaboy.
No.
Attaboy.
No.
Attaboy.
The crowd is not.
Jim?
Crowd is mixed. Jim?
You're smiling far too much to be a United fan.
No, I would say I probably do follow Manchester United. I do like Tottenham also. I could see, Matt, you really like Liverpool, but
That's the only thing I don't like about Jeremy.
Yeah.
His love of Liverpool.
By the way, for the record, I used to follow someone else, but Jim in my employee evaluation told me I had to follow Man U, so now I follow Man U.
Fair enough. Maybe we need to do employee evaluations on the podcast.
I hope not.
No. You won't be supporting Newcastle much longer then.
No, you might actually make me as a punishment.
I was going to say I'm going to lose another job.
Well, I will say one thing on the EPL, and it's a couple factors not go down over. But it's interesting to see the dynamics of professional sports. When you look at a coach like Mourinho that was on the top of the league, they win the league last year, questionably the best coach in the world, and then all of a sudden you do some things wrong. And so it's amazing how fast things can turn positively or negatively. It can be very challenging. And the other thing, you look at the EPL, you look at the parity in the league, which I think is great for just soccer, and there's only soccer, I think, the football that has that ability to have that level of parity. So, Matt, you mentioned earlier, this league is a good league.
Yes, it is.
It is a good league. There are some really good players in this league, talented teams. So it's a fun environment to come out to with some really good players, and I think people that sat there and said, this is going to be a Sunday league. These are good players.
Matt's always said from the beginning that, you know, you can take half the lower half of an MLS team, exchange it with the medium half of a USL team, and there's no skill change. It's really only the DPs and those top-level players where you really see a giant change.
But the fact of the matter is, though, also, that the players in USL are hungry to make the next step. They're hungry players. I think in MLS and... Don Garber won't like me for saying this, but I think there's certain players in MLS, they've taken the foot off the gas. You know, they're making the $3 million a year. They're going to start no matter what. The USL players are hungry to make it to that point. You know, so that even though there's no promotion or relegation in U.S. soccer, a player can get promoted. You know, he's fighting day in, day out to better himself, and that's what we see on the field.
Yeah, that would be pretty incredible to put the relegation piece in. That's a whole nother. But anyway, to Tom's
Thank you. Thank you for not going any further. Yeah.
Pandora's box. We'll just close that again.
Tinfoil Ted's wings are burning right now.
Now, to Tom's point, thank you guys very much for all you do to support the team. And Mission Taco, huge thanks to Mission Taco. I mean, it's just great to see people come together to support the challenging effort.
And it's still packed as we speak. I mean, got a good crowd here tonight.
Yeah, there's no empty tables. I was looking around earlier when I got up and got a beer, and there is not a single empty table in this place. For business that's normally closed today, to be this busy this whole time.
These people are here because they love St. Louis soccer, and they're here to support. So
yeah,
it's a good testament.
And thanks to all of our fans. So thank you guys very much for having us tonight.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
We will check you in a couple of weeks when we get back to normal schedule. But go out and donate what you can. Buy your season tickets.
Next podcast is live from El Salvador, right?
Yeah, I think so. We're going to try to find a couple of strikers.
You didn't hear that from us.
Go!
All right.
This is silly.
See ya.
Bye.
I've never caught a glimpse how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test. Change it.